You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week, we are coming at you to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. Not just talk to you about the Canadiens, but keep you informed, keep you engaged, keep you entertained about the Habs, your favorite hockey team. That's why you're here. That's why you count on us being here each and every week, 52 weeks a year. We're going to get to that in a minute. We've got a great show coming up for you today. My name's Amy Johnson. I'm your host for the show, episode 408 of Canadiens Connection. This week's show is titled The Canadiens Coaching File. What has changed and why it matters? We're going to be talking about the coaching staff today and the coaching staff and the other support staff that kind of all works in congruence with the coaching staff. We'll get to more about that in a minute. First, let me introduce my wonderful co-host here in the studio. He's our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. Rick, we're here.
We are here.
We're going to talk about coaching and development staff today.
Yeah, the hockey ops people. And it's one of the reasons we're here every single week, 52 weeks of the year, as you said. As the intro said, for more than a decade, well more than a decade, we've had a Saturday podcast every single week since 2012 with Rocket Sports. It's Canadiens Connection. And we're just happy to have all of our longtime listeners. And for those of you that are new to our show, you don't have to wonder when we're going to publish. You don't have to worry about it, us being behind a paywall. You don't have to worry about a sporadic or missing episodes over this. We're here every week, every Saturday. And it's because the Montreal Canadiens make news every single week. And so you get our podcast. It's, 75, 90 minutes, a recap of what's happened. Because if you wait until September, there's just too much to catch up on. So take us with you all summer, wherever you go, mowing the lawn, out to the beach, to the cottage, wherever you are, take the Canadiens Connection podcast on all the popular formats.
That's right. Also, if you're new to the show, just want to give you a quick idea of what you can expect each and every week, including this week. We're going to kick off every week with our first segment that is the official kind of week in review. That's more of the news-oriented segment of the show where we recap anything Habs related or Habs prospect related that is new news or noteworthy from the prior week. We do give you a prospect report and we give you some news highlights that are noteworthy around the NHL as well. The second segment is where we tackle our big topic every week. We select one area of analysis or opinion or just kind of a breakdown to tackle every week. And that's what we do in the second segment. And this week, our second segment is titled, if I can get there, Breaking Down the Canadiens Coaching File. And as I alluded to a minute ago, we're going to talk about, you know, there was some coaching news, rumblings, reports that happened this week for the Montreal Canadiens. If those turn out to be as accurate as they claim to be, there's going to be some changes behind the bench. And so this is a great time for us to look at all of the coaching positions, the personnel involved, and the rest of the hockey ops staff to really kind of see the big picture of where the Canadiens are at right now in terms of hockey ops and how they're going to move forward. Finally, then, in our third segment, that's when we let you have your say. We said that we want to keep you engaged. This is an interactive podcast. We always want to hear from you. You're welcome to contact us at any time if you've got opinions or statements or questions or anything like that. But in addition to that, each and every week, we're going to ask you what we call our Canadiens Connection question of the week. We have a themed question that we ask all of our listeners and viewers each and every week, and we encourage you to put your thinking caps on or just whatever naturally makes you, whatever you feel when you react to that question, and send us your answers. Every week we go through the pile of responses that we get. We pick out the best ones and we read them on the next show, which is the following week. So,
and give us your answers, but also give us your questions. If you have a question, yeah, we have a mailbag show every so often, usually once a month, at the Rocket Sports Mailbag. And that's when we gather all of the mail, answer your questions, because we're happy to help out in that way as well.
Definitely. So without further ado, let's kick off today's show with a highlight moment for this week. It's something that actually hasn't taken place yet, at least not in terms of when we are recording this podcast, which is Saturday afternoon. It's an event that's actually going to be taking place tonight. That would be Saturday night, July 11th. It's going to be taking place at the Centre d'Excellence Sport in Sport Rousseau in Boisbriand. And this is a Living CSU
event.
Yeah. Living CSU, if you've listened to us for any length of time, you know that this is a company that was formed a number of years ago by former Canadiens goaltender and goaltending prospect Zach Fucali. Based on the CSU is a Finnish concept of grit, determination, and resilience by through a healthy and active lifestyle.
Kind of neat. I don't know if there's any particular direct English translation or not, and we'll ask our Finnish community. We got a ton of listeners from Finland, but also in Northern Ontario, and I think it coarsely translates to guts, and as you said, grit, determination, resilience, all of that, tenaciousness. And that's what Zach Fucali was, one of the founders of that.
Yeah.
And you probably remember from previous years, it's a 3-on-3 summer pro league. We've seen, well, a number of players, number of Canadiens players involved with that. Nick Suzuki was one of them. And it's a charity. It allows players to, you know, part of their training to play, but it supports, it's a charity event supporting pancreatic cancer in North America. So wonderful experience, and they have a new event this year, as I understand.
They do. It is the Showdown, and that's what's happening tonight in Boisbriand. It is, as they say, experience the most electric night of the summer. It is, for all of you who want to get rid of the shootout, this is nothing but the shootout. This is a shootout-only event featuring elite players, influencers, and unreal creativity. So there's going to be a skills competition, a best to five, and a make your move matchup.
And Zach will be there as one of the goaltenders.
Sure.
And some other influencers and former NHLers. From the Canadiens, Zach Bolduc will be there, as well as Alex Jurovsky. So if you haven't had a chance to see Jurovsky, you want to see him with you want to see his shootout moves.
Yeah.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night. So congratulations to Zach Fucali for what has turned out to be a very unique company that he founded while he was still pretty young in his playing days, and continues to be successful and has really grown it into something that I think a lot of players look forward to every summer. So be sure to check that out if you're able to. In roster news for the Canadiens, there are actually some things to discuss here. The Canadiens announced a signing this week, an ELC signing, a 2-year entry-level contract beginning this upcoming season for Russian defenseman Bogdan Konyushkov.
Why is it a 2-year, not a 3-year entry-level contract? Well, it's because of his age. He's 23 years old. Mm-hmm. Konyushkov selected by the Montreal Canadiens in the fourth round of the 2023 draft. He played 67 games with Torpedo last year, wore an A as the alternate captain, 38 points in those 67 games, and that was good enough for 12th amongst KHL defensemen.
It's pretty impressive. And so he's going to be loaned back to Torpedo for this season. He's not signing an ELC and coming to play here.
No.
He still has a year left on his contract. So congratulations. Dan Milstein was pretty happy about it.
Teased the news.
Yeah, and was very, he's of course a Gold Star client of Dan Milstein. So congratulations to him to your entry-level contract for Bogdan Konyushkov. RFAs for the Canadiens, you know who they are. One of the eight have been signed. We talked about that, I believe, last week. That was Brett Berard who signed.
That happened this week, but we'll get to it
Laval section. Yes. So there are still 7 restricted free agents who have to sign their contracts. We're not going to go through all of them. However, a little bit of an update on Kirby Dach, because he has filed for salary arbitration.
We'll have a hearing sometime between the 20th of July and August 1st. And you saw the immediate reaction on social media that, oh, that's bold, that's nervy of Dach to file for salary arbitration. Really, everything around this file is kind of, it's doing business. The agent's doing business for his client, filing for salary arbitration. And the piece of information that came out this week that maybe sparked that salary arbitration filing was that Dach was given not what's usual, a one-way contract for NHLers, but was given a 2-way qualifying offer by the Canadiens because there's, in the rules, and you'd know that the Canadiens, Kent Hughes, John Sedgwick would know these rules, that because Kirby Dach played less than 60 games last season and less than 180 games over the last 3 seasons, that was, he played 96 games in the last 3 seasons, 37 last year, they could offer him a 2-way contract, meaning a differential salary if he was to be waived and sent to Laval. How likely is all of that? Probably not very likely. There'd be a certain amount of egg on the face to do that. And I'm guessing, well, I'm not guessing, I'm pretty confident that somebody would take a chance on Kirby Dach if he was placed
on waivers.
For free, yeah. Yeah. So a lot of this is it's just because they're doing business. So salary arbitration hearing will be set, and expect that sometime before that, as usually is the case, this will be settled. And this allows the Canadiens to say, okay, we had to give you a qualifying offer of $4 million, but that's on a 2-way. Would you take 3.2 on a 1-way kind of thing? Right. That's what's likely to happen here.
And I think people would probably feel a little bit better about that if that's ended up being what happened. So We'll have to wait and see on that. So
we should also say that Kirby Dock is part of trade discussions that Kent Hughes has had over the summer. So that's also a possibility.
Oh, well, that's a possibility too. Also could be a reason why Kent Hughes will have some motivation to get a better priced contract for him, because it might make him a little easier to move.
That's true.
The next bit of news for the roster that we're coming to here is kind of the crux of today's show. So we're just going to report on the actual news that came out, but we're going to wait till our second segment to expand on it. And that is the fact that on Wednesday, Sportsnet reported that the Canadiens are hiring Derek Lalonde as an assistant coach, replacing Trevor Letowski, who is allegedly stepping down from his coaching position to spend more time with his family.
So if it's coming from Sportsnet, they know. TVSport also kind of unofficially confirmed by the Canadiens, although they haven't made an official announcement about any of this. That's probably coming soon, and might explain more things than just Derek Lalonde. But all of that, as you said, we're going to talk about in the second segment.
That's right. Elliot Friedman wrapped up his 32 Thoughts podcast season this past week. He'll now put the podcast, he and Kyle Bukauskas will put the podcast kind of on hiatus for the rest of the summer. But he had some thoughts on Montreal, saying Canadiens management is frustrated that they haven't been able to acquire a young top six forward via the trade market.
And that they're willing to overpay if the right player comes available. We've heard that. We've heard that from Kent Hughes, and then we've heard from Jeff Gordon saying, I wish he'd stop saying that. It makes our negotiating more difficult. But is Kent Hughes frustrated? Well, if you listened to the podcast last week, we sure hope you did. If you don't, it's still available, episode 407. And we talked about Kent Hughes maybe for the first time showing some frustration, showing some defensiveness when he came to the microphone to talk about the Ivan Demidov signing. And yeah, Kent Hughes feels that they've made reasonable, if not generous, offers. And we heard that from Frank Cervelli that they made an offer that would have been considered insane for Kirill Marchenko. Elliot Friedman in his podcast also mentioned that. Elliot also said Columbus has no interest in trading Marchenko. So maybe that's why they went out and made this insane offer. That is the Canadiens. But there is some frustration, and that's not a good thing, because that would maybe lead to them trading pieces that they'd regret later.
Definitely. For so long, they have talked about, we're not going to sell the future for a fix now during the rebuild. And so really not liking the willing to overpay rumblings, because that's the exact opposite of what they've promised that they wouldn't do. And could be, you know, you don't want that knee-jerk reaction, just desperately trying to get a piece of the puzzle, and then you pay an overwhelming price that you shouldn't have. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Elliot Friedman also went on to talk about some other potential fits for Montreal.
Yeah, as far as a top six forward, from the Penguins, he talked about Rickard Rakell, Brian Rust as potential fits. And as far as a temporary solution for defense, Rasmus Ristolainen, formerly with Philadelphia and other teams, but he said he wondered if Ristolainen might end up as a stopgap solution for Montreal.
All very interesting. still have to wait to see what Kent Hughes is going to do. In the interim, let's check in on the prospect report for the Habs.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Today's prospect news really all focuses on the Laval Rocket. There were a couple of signings that the Canadiens announced this week that directly affect the Laval Rocket because they are both two-way contracts. These players will likely play the majority of their time in Laval. The first is one of those RFAs we talked about, Canadiens announcing that they had signed forward Brett Berard to a one-year two-way contract. Rick, I believe he was with the Hartford Wolfpack last year.
That's right. The New York Rangers affiliate in the AHL, Hartford. We remember, and if you've been with us, we told you about the trade that sent William Trudeau to the Rangers for Brett Berard. Mm-hmm. 1 year, two-way contract in 41 games with the Wolfpack last year. 6 goals, 16 assists. He's a smallish forward, 5'9", 175, and 23 years old.
He is. Also played 13 games in the NHL for the Rangers last year. Canadiens also signed another one-year two-way contract, this time for a defenseman. This is defenseman Riley Walsh, who played 68 games in the KHL last season.
With Paris Astana, he ranked third in points among KHL defensemen last year with 46 points. That's on 16 goals and 30 assists. This was another weird one that was reported, Jeremy Garrett on X, and then we waited.
Until
the Canadiens confirmed it.
Yeah.
They're adding defensemen in for Laval. Walsh is 27 years old, 6 foot, 185, right-handed defenseman. Is selected in the third round, 81st overall by the Devils in the 2017 NHL draft. Just in your mind, think of him as a Mark Delgaiso. Remember, Delgaiso played the majority of the season in Laval last year, came up to the Canadiens for a couple of games as a stopgap. I don't know, as I think back, I think he was with the Canadiens. I don't even think, in case of an emergency,
I don't think he played.
No, was with them on the road. But Delgaiso signed with the Rangers, I believe,
yes,
this year. So, think of a guy who's going to play in with Laval, but in an emergency, you can tap him for the kind of role that Delgaiso had last year.
Also, the AHL has released their 2026-27 schedule. So for Laval, remember, the AHL is a 72-game season these days.
And remember, the NHL is an 84, not 82, going 84. To 84 games this regular season.
And it's going to start a little earlier, too, but that's for another day when that schedule comes out. But for Laval, would you believe this is their 10th anniversary season already?
It is.
It's hard to believe that it's been 10 years since we welcomed this team into the league.
And then it coincides with the AHL's 90th anniversary. So there'll be anniversary celebrations throughout the year.
Definitely. What are some highlights for the Laval schedule this year? Well, the majority of their home games, this shouldn't come as a surprise, are going to be Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. The Rocket does not play on Sundays unless they're on the road.
Three games on Sundays this year.
Yeah, typically when they meant that more as they don't typically play on Sundays at home. When they do play on Sundays, which is a very popular day for a lot of other teams, it's usually on the road. They have an early season opening night on Friday, October 2nd.
Wow. That's against the Syracuse Crunch. And actually, it's the home opener for Laval. And they play back-to-back. They'll host the Crunch again on the 3rd of October. But very early for Laval to be starting this season.
And probably coinciding with The NHL is getting started a week early, so I guess the AHL is getting started a little early as well. Who's going to be Laval's most frequent opponent? Should not come as any surprise that it's going to be the Belleville Senators.
10 times they have a rivalry. Rivalry with Toronto, and they're going to and the Marlies, of course, the Calder Cup champs. They're going to end the season with a 3-game road trip, April 8th to 11th, against Hamilton. Hamilton, you say? The yeah. Bulldogs are back? No. The Hamilton Hammers, affiliate of the New York Islanders. So the 3-game road trip will be against the Hammers and the Marlies. That's to right. End the regular season.
So Laval no longer needing to travel to Bridgeport, Connecticut, because that the Bridgeport Islanders are now no longer. They have moved to Hamilton, so they are back with a Hamilton, Ontario rotation in the schedule, which is always convenient to do the Hamilton and Toronto at the same time.
And former Cops Coliseum. I think it's being called now the TD Coliseum, and it's been renovated and can hold something in the neighborhood of 18,000 people. We'll see if
they do.
if Canadians fans, load up and head to Hamilton to watch the Laval Rocket.
Just in general league news for the NHL, two offer sheets down, both have been matched, basically. The Utah Mammoth have matched the offer sheet made by the Devils on Barrett Hayton.
Signing 1 year, $4.7 million $4.7 million contract. But that was kind of the pre-show. The real show, real extravaganza here. Was the $90 million offer sheet that Philadelphia Flyers signed with Leo Carlson. But Anaheim matched that a day early, they announced that.
Yeah.
So now Carlson becomes the NHL's highest paid player, $18 million a season. And the Ducks have more work to do because they don't have much cap space and they're going to have to lighten the load a little bit.
Definitely. Alex Newhook has his golf tournament, his golf classic coming up in just a couple of weeks. Takes place, Fan Fest is on August 3rd. The tournament is on August 4th. It's his annual charity event.
I think this is the third annual Alex Newhook and Friends Golf Classic. And this past week on social media, he's put out kind of one a day. Here's who's coming to my golf classic. Takes place in St. John's. And as far as his Canadians teammates, those who have confirmed their attendance, we'll see how good they are at playing golf. Jakub Dobish, the Jacki twins, Arbor and Florian, Caden Gooley, and Jaden Struble.
That sounds like a good group so far.
They raised a lot of money. Last year was over $120,000, and they split it up amongst hospitals and different charities in the St. John's area.
Wonderful. Like that very, very much. All right. We are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We're going to bring you a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. They have a great incentive just for you, our Canadians Connection listeners here on the Hockey Podcast Network. And when we come back, we are diving into the Canadiens coaching file, and we are going to take a look at what is happening, what could happen, what has happened, and what the state of the Canadiens coaching staff and hockey ops staff is, and how that affects the franchise moving forward. So you don't want to miss that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio once again. My name's Amy Johnson. And of course, I'm always joined in the studio here by my wonderful co-host, Rick Stevens. Make sure, if you're not already doing so, follow us on social media platforms. You can find me over on X at Flyers Rule. Rick, you'll want to find on X with our main account. That is, the handle is at Rocket Sports. That gives you, that's kind of our hub. That's our social media account. That's the base of operations, basically. You can also follow this podcast specifically. The handle is at Habs Connection. That's on X, it's on Facebook, and it's on Instagram. And if you haven't done so already, and you are relatively new to the show, make sure you hit subscribe. We are not going anywhere all summer. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. This is the time of the off season that a lot of other podcasts you're going to find are going to slowly or rather abruptly disappear. And they're going to go on vacation for the next 6 weeks or so, 6-7 weeks. And it's going to be like a desert out there in terms of Montreal Canadiens related talk. Well, you can be rest assured. That's not the case here. We're going to be here each and every week. And if you don't want to miss an episode, if you want to talk about and listen to talk and analysis on the Montreal Canadiens all summer long, tap that subscribe button. Now, the Canadiens might not have made a big roster move this week, but they do appear to be making some changes behind the bench. We talked about this in the first segment. There are reports that Trevor Letowski is stepping down as one of Marty St. Louis' assistant coaches. The organization allegedly wants to keep him on in a different role, as yet to be determined. But the report is that it's going to be Derek Lalonde who is going to be the guy set to replace Trevor Letowski on St. Louis' staff. Now that whole move in and of itself, both components of it, Letowski stepping down and a potential hiring of Derek Lalonde, that's certainly worth discussing on its own, and we're going to do that. But it also really provides us a good opportunity to take a step back and look at the coaching staff and the hockey ops staff as a whole. You know, things like who's responsible for what? Where are the strengths in the hockey ops and coaching departments? Are there areas that need some fresh perspectives, additional experience, new faces, new voices? And now that the staff is starting to kind of take shape for next season, are there any other changes that we could expect in this department before training camp? So that's what we're doing today. We are breaking down the Canadiens coaching file. And I think it's natural to start with the guy who is supposedly stepping down to spend more time with his family, Trevor Letowski.
And let's start there briefly and then get on. So the news is, or what was reported, is that Letowski will step away from coaching to spend more time with his family. And of course, that sets off alarm bells because you take that excuse off the shelf, whether you're a politician, whether you're a sports figure, whether if you want things to, if you don't want reporters to ask any questions, this making that announcement mutes any discussion because nobody's going to challenge and say, oh, well, you know, why do you need, and heaven forbid, that it is a serious family situation, a family illness. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, perfectly understandable. But we also know that it's been used in cases where organizations don't want any discussion, don't want to have to answer any questions. And the Canadians have done that in the past. And it's obviously curious that the Canadians have used that same excuse twice in the last 2 years. Really odd. Remember, Alex Burrows,
yeah,
stepped away from coaching to be with his family. And everybody knew at the time Alex Burrows was the weak link on the coaching staff. He was floundering in the coaching position, and he had no experience at it. He retired as a player one day, and almost the next day it was announced that he'd be a member of the Laval coaching staff. And he struggled. He really struggled, especially when promoted to the Canadiens. And I'm not saying that Trevor Letowski was struggling. I'm not making that comparison at all. But it's very rare that coaches step away. They don't step away from... They know what they're getting into when you become a coach. They know what coaching is. They know what the lifestyle is. They know, they embrace what coaching is at the pro level. And we've seen even, you know, later on in their lives coming back, Rick Bowness, coaches coming back, and they need to coach. They choose that lifestyle, and it's usually their spouses and families that also buy into that role. So it's very rare, and certainly the odds of having two people in the same organization in 2 years to legitimately use that excuse are minuscule. Now, Trevor Letowski, he was Marty's right-hand guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was number two behind the bench on the coaching staff. And when Marty arrived, Marty had minimal coaching experience. He didn't know how to run a bench. He leaned heavily on Trevor. And it was Letowski that was responsible for changing lines, the in-game bench management for the forwards. And we know that on those occasions when Marty was absent, it was Letowski that took over and acted as the Canadiens' head coach.
So that's also one of those things that makes you say, okay, well, if he's that important, this is a little unexpected, more than a little unexpected. So you have to look at different angles. As you said, they used this excuse with Alex Burrows last year. So the likelihood, like you say, of that happening with two assistant coaches in two years.
Yeah, and just to confirm, it was July 1st or 2nd of 2024 that the announcement about Alex Burrows stepping away was made.
Right. So prior to that affected last season, this now affecting this coming season. So Letowski, was his contract up? His contract.
Well, all
up.
Of all the contracts are coming up with respect to Letowski and Robida, and particularly Marty St. Louis has 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
Letowski was kind of out of sequence because he was a Dom Ducharme hire.
That's right.
And Marty just adopted him and as I said, leaned on him pretty heavily.
So, okay, if this was, you know, is it one of those situations where they wanted to go in a different direction, but they don't want to come out and say, we're firing Trevor Letowski or not, we're just not renewing Trevor Letowski? Is this a way for the Canadians to save face? And if he truly is going to take on a different role in the organization, now the question is, we know that Alex Burrows did that, becoming a player development consultant. What role is Trevor Letowski going to play?
Questions, questions, questions. We're going to explore the questions and we'll get some answers pretty soon, and probably by the Canadians in a big announcement that will cover a lot of these questions.
From management themselves at the end of season press conference, they talked about there were things that were going to need to change on the team that needed to improve, that were obvious to them after the playoff run. Defensive upgrades and coaching improvements. Jeff Gorton said our coaches also have to be better.
And Jeff Gorton, he focused on, he said our biggest offseason focus will be to improve the team's defense, because that was an issue throughout the playoffs, but particularly was exposed against the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, he didn't say, everyone expected, it's going to be a top four defenseman that they're going to go after or promote. Engstrom, Reinbacher didn't consider, I shouldn't say that, because a lot of our listeners said, yes, replace Robida. Yeah. But it was more focused on the acquisitions. Yes, Kent Hughes said, we need to get better in every aspect of the game, including coaching, and that Kent Hughes said, I expect our coaches to improve over the summer. Was he meaning that the coaches would have to hit the books over the summer? Was he meaning that the coaching staff would see some additions or deletions over the summer?
Well, if the reporting is true, it looks like there could be an addition. So if that is going to be the case, that Derek Lalonde is going to join the Canadiens bench, let's talk a little bit about Derek Lalonde. What experience does he bring? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? How is he going to fit into the Canadiens organization, what they need right now from an assistant coach, and how he's going to fit in with Marty St. Louis?
So who is Derek Lalonde? Well, experience. If Marty St. Louis needs experience, and he does, and his moves were questioned, were exposed. He's never been he's never been to the division, into the conference finals as a head coach in the NHL. And we saw him kind of struggling at times, particularly against Tampa. He came out one day and said, no, I don't believe in matchups, line matching. I don't want to spoil the rhythm. And then John Cooper was line matching all over the place, and Marty started doing that. And then Marty started changing lines, and you saw a new line out there on every shift. So there's been calls for a long time to add a coach with experience. Derek Lalonde, 30 years of coaching experience, over 600 NHL games. He has some experience. So where did he come from? Well, he's actually a goaltender. Cortland State University, which is NCAA Division III, back in the early 90s, he played for them. And then immediately got into coaching. He got a bachelor's degree in phys ed from SUNY Cortland State, and then went to Mass College of Liberal Arts and got a master's degree in educational administration from them while being their assistant coach. Started with North Adams State College in 95 as assistant coach, Division III in the NCAA. Then Mass College of Liberal Arts, then went through a number of teams, Lebanon Valley, Hamilton College, and then got an assistant coaching role in the NCAA, Division I, Ferris State University, assistant coach at the University of Denver. We've talked about how good their program is. And that went all the way until he went to the USHL, the Green Bay Gamblers, as assistant coach. And then their head coach and GM. And that's where he got one of his first awards, and got coach of the year in the USHL. Also got coach of the year in the ECHL as head coach of the Toledo Walleye. Went on to be head coach of the Iowa Wild. He's got tons of experience, yeah. Tons and tons of experience. And then made it into the NHL starting in the 2018-19 season.
And that was as an assistant with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He spent 4 years with John Cooper. He got 2 Stanley Cups as an assistant with the Lightning during that time. Also had a top 5 penalty kill.
Yeah, while he was assistant coach under John Cooper, lots of learning there. He was responsible for the Tampa Bay Lightning's penalty kill and was top 5, I think made it to top 3 over those 4 seasons. He a defensive coaching specialist.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, since isn't that what Stefan Robidoff is supposed to do?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Stefan Robidoff is in charge of the defenseman and the penalty kill.
And I know we're going to talk about him.
Yeah, there'll be some overlap there with the penalty kill, but more about how the team plays its defensive structure. And of course, that's completely the opposite. Marty focuses on offense. Marty thinks that offense you can outscore your problems. And we saw that wasn't the case in the playoffs. And so bringing in a guy with who has experience with a defensive structure makes sense. He was...
After he left Tampa Bay, he went to Detroit.
Yeah. 2.5 seasons as head coach. Not sparkling results there. A record of 89-86-23 with Detroit. Didn't make the playoffs in either his full seasons as head coach with the Red Wings. And then one season as an assistant coach with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto Maple Leafs weren't very good last year. But with Derek Lalonde looking after the penalty kill, the Leafs were 8th. Now, before you get too excited, he was also responsible for the defensive structure, and the Leafs gave up the 2nd most goals in the NHL last season. So a bit of a mixed bag there as well.
And that was the move that kind of obviously generated everything, was that on Wednesday, the Toronto Maple Leafs had announced that they announced a new coaching staff. Derek Lalonde was not part of it. Obviously, he was let go from now that Jason Chyka's there and they've got new coaching there. They cleaned house. Derek Lalonde did not stick around. And so he was suddenly available for the Montreal Canadiens.
Quite a purge by the Leafs. They got rid of their 27 assistant GMs. I'm exaggerating, but I think there was 11 people let go by the Leafs. So Lalonde was fired on Wednesday. The Canadiens pounced the next day. He wasn't out of work very long. One thing that have we told people, especially the newcomers, that it's, yes, we're credentialed journalists, but it's not just us. There's a big team behind us. Chris G, you've read his articles if you've been with us for a while. And it was Brian in our Rocket Sports team that mentioned how good Derek Lalonde's communication skills are, and they are. Mm-hmm. He's a very good communicator. both in press conferences, and he helped out with the Hockey Night in Canada coverage over the playoffs. He's a very good communicator, and that's going to help him in Montreal.
So now all of that, none of that has been made official yet by the Canadians. We should reiterate. This is all, for now, just going on what is allegedly
It's not rumor. It's not speculation. It's a little more than that. But
right. But the Canadians still have to make this announcement officially. Now, we just mentioned a moment ago Stéphane Robidas. So Robidas is the other assistant coach. We talked about this a week or two ago, like how there is actually an assistant coaching vacancy on Marty St. Louis' bench because he's only got two. So it's an interesting, and this is something I'm sure that we're going to get to at some point as well, later in this segment, Rick, but Stéphane Robidas still there. A lot of people hoping that he was going to be the one on the chopping block this summer.
Sir, we sure heard that from, our listeners, on our Rocket Sports text line, 5853 Rocket. You can join us there, 5853 Rocket, or on comments, to this podcast, saying that Robidas should be on the chopping block. And yes, defense in their own end, it's not been good. And that was, if you didn't realize that during the regular season, it was really an issue in the playoffs. And other than the spectacular work by Jakub Dobiš, it could have been exposed even more. So Stéphane Robidas, he manages the defenseman, and he's in charge of the penalty kill. Penalty kill wasn't very good last season, 18th in the league. As we said, that's been a specialty of Derek Lalonde. Whether that gets pulled from Robidas or they do some sort of sharing thing, not sure. But Robidas at some point is going to need a contract extension too. And is he going to leave to spend more time with his family? We don't know, but that would make many of our listeners happy, I think.
I think so. So that then turns us to, and so that it still means there's still a vacancy. Technically, Marty could have another assistant coach. That turns us to the goaltending coach, Marco Marciano. Currently still the interim goaltending coach. Could they just hurry up and make that officially permanent?
I don't think there's any, I mean, if they don't make him the permanent goalie coach,
shame on them.
I don't know how many teams there are lined up, but a team would snap him up. An NHL team would snap him up in an instant. Yep. So they need to make him permanent and take that interim tag off of him as soon as possible. And maybe I'm advocating a little too hard here because we know Marco, we know him personally, and he's been with the organization through a number of regimes.
Many.
But no one can deny the success that he had with Jakub Dobiš, the success he had with Jacob Fowler. The two Jakes, as we like to call them. Marco is going to be made the permanent goalie coach of the Montreal Canadiens. And maybe they're waiting for a big coaching announcement to make that official, but expect that to happen soon.
Along with, for Marty St. Louis, he is coming into the final year of his contract. We expect that an extension should get signed.
Yeah, they're not going to let that go too long because if it gets to training camp and reporters start asking questions, that's going to be uncomfortable for everybody. Mm-hmm. So expect that an extension for Marty St. Louis is going to be announced between now and the start of the season. As we said, Marty's focus is on offense, on the power play, on the forwards, and we don't see anything changing there.
No. So, what does, before we get to kind of the rest of hockey ops, just with the NHL coaching staff and potential changes that are looming, what does all this mean?
Well, you mentioned it. As far as a normal NHL complement of assistant coaches that are on the bench, behind the bench during games, Canadians have just two, along with Marty. Now expect those to be, for now, Derek Lalonde and Stéphane Robida, unless something else changes. And most teams, and the Canadians before, had three. And when Burrows was there, there were three. So, you know, it's tough to keep track of everything that's happening on the ice. It's tough to be able to focus. You see Marty consulting the iPad a lot. Sometimes misses what's happening on the ice, and he says afterwards, "I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to have to check the tape," as he says. So I think it would be advantageous and normal for the Canadians to have another assistant coach. And listen, there's no coaching, there's no salary cap on coaching positions, so why wouldn't you have another? That said, though, that additional person, and certainly Robida, certainly Trevor Letowski, certainly Derek Lalonde, would all have to be approved by Marty. Marty's got to get along with them. He's got to mix with them. He's got to fit with them. And they have to kind of fit into his philosophy. There's so many questions. This is so unusual. If going into this, they knew that they were going to make a change at assistant coach, why wait till July? Because all of a sudden your pool dries up. Now, in this case, Derek Lalonde just fell into their lap. And it reminds me of, you know, they re-signed in Laval. They re-signed J.F. Uhl when everyone knew J.F. Uhl was an issue. Then J.F. Uhl, at the last second, went off to his alma mater in the NCAA. That solved a problem for the administration. And Pascal Vincent dropped into their laps. Brilliant. But, you know, why let, if you knew you're going to have vacancies, why let Vincent go? Why wait till all of the, it's just very unusual. There's something where we don't know about what's going on here.
So speaking of Pascal Vincent, there is still a vacancy for the head coach of the Laval Rocket, because in case you didn't catch that news, Vincent was hired in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as an assistant coach.
No, Seattle.
No, Seattle. I knew. I'm like, Vancouver doesn't sound right. Seattle has hired him as an assistant coach in the NHL. So that was weeks ago, and there is still a vacancy for the head coach job in Laval.
We know that the Montreal media was banging the drum for a Q coach, particularly Sylvain Favreau from Drummondville. That's not going to happen, because Sylvain Favreau this past week was named an assistant coach with a Syracuse Crunch. So he's, stroke him off your list if you're keeping score. I've said at the time that the Laval assistant, Daniel Jacob, who looked after the defense, seemed like a very strong candidate to me. We're hearing that he's still a very strong candidate. The kind of out-of-the-box pick for some, Paul Byron, still like to see Paul Byron involved some way there. Yeah. Of course, he's involved as a development consultant now. What about Trevor Letowski? No, it's not glamorous, riding the buses for the most part in the AHL, but he could be a head coach rather than just be an assistant and then be considered for head coaching. I don't know. That's another out-of-the-box kind of suggestion from some that we've heard. But expect all of these coaching issues to be resolved pretty darn soon.
So that then shifts our attention to hockey ops. Director of player development, we talked about this last week, again, came out of the blue that the director of player development, Rob Ramage, retired.
Kind of suddenly, within 10 minutes of them announcing it, he was scrubbed from the website, didn't get to, at development camp, have his kind of final wrap-up development camp press conference, which was weird. That was Frankie Bouillon. Frankie is still the considered a player development coach for the development folks. Alex Burrows is there. Paul Byron's there. So who's going to be the director of player development? Are they going to involve Trevor Letowski here some way? Because remember, they said they wanted to keep him within the organization. And presumably that's not going to mean a lot of travel. So is he going to be involved here? That's another area that of coaching, in quotes, that we're going to keep an eye on.
Okay. So then that moves us to pro scouting. Now, we had talked a little while ago about, much to our chagrin, the rumors that had come out back in April that, or was it March? It might have been March, that Vincent Riando, who is the Canadiens' Russia pro scout and amateur goalie scout, could potentially be leaving the organization to become the GM for the Shanghai Dragons in the KHL.
So that was... It was almost expected soon. It's imminent. He's going to be announced. And it seems that they've hired someone else in the meantime. So whether they got the organization wrong, the Dragons, the Shanghai Dragons, the president that they hired, Ilya Kovalchuk, there's a name for you. But is Vinny Riando has a really unique skill set. We got to know him extremely well when he was in the GM role for the St. John's Ice Caps. But he is he's very comfortable in Russia. Pro scout, deals with the amateurs over there as well. And excellent eye for goaltending and a lot of, you know, we talked about the goalie stable that the Canadians now have a number of prospects, and that goes way beyond Jacob Fowler and Jakub Dobish. That's due to Vinny Riando. So he would be both his eye on goaltenders and his ability to move in Russia would be a big loss. But nothing has really been quite resolved there. The Canadians had given him permission to talk to other teams. So we'd like to have that resolved as one of those hockey ops going forward decisions for the coming season.
So some things for now seem status quo. Other things are really up in the air. Overall, when you look at coaching and development and scouting, the hockey ops department in general,
and it's important. It's crucial. Coaching matters.
Yeah.
Coaching matters at all levels, at the NHL level, at the AHL level. It's crucial. And that's why we're spending so much time on it here today.
Well, and to go along with that, it's if the team and the organization wants to continue to progress in this rebuild and continue to improve, that's not just the on-ice product. It's the people who get the on-ice product to its maximum ability. It's the coaches, it's the development folks, it's the scouts who are finding the talent who are going to turn into those top level players down the line. And so all of these decisions or chess pieces moving around on the board are really essential, and the Canadians have to get these decisions right. And so this whole unexpected, like you say, didn't really see Rob Ramage retiring on the wall until it happened. And then suddenly Trevor Letowski allegedly stepping down,
Are we getting a new assistant coach in Derek Lalonde? We don't know. Are these the right moves? We're interested to hear what fans have to think.
But this is part of this is part of rebuilding the organization. And mm-hmm. and Kent Hughes said, when he was hired, Kent Hughes said, there's going to be no silos in that it's this responsibility and this department doesn't communicate with the other department and they don't have any effect. This is a organizational wide rebuild. And that directive came from Jeff Gorton. They talked about coaching extensively as already mentioned. And they're going to upgrade it. They're going to upgrade in every sector of this organization that they feel, that they're lacking. And it really feels like this is the summer. I know you're expecting the second line center. I know you're expecting the right hand D. But here's what their folk and you know, trades may still come. Mm-hmm. But here's where the Canadians are focusing their efforts to make the biggest improvement in the organization in the off season.
Definitely. So we do want to hear what you think about all of this. So our Canadians Connection question of the week this week is this. What do you think will make the biggest impact on the Canadiens' success next season? Will it be coaching changes or roster upgrades? What will make the biggest impact on the Canadiens' success next season? Coaching changes or roster upgrades? Or maybe you think it's a combination of both. We want to hear what you think, as well as your thoughts on the Trevor Letowski, Derek Lalonde reporting. We'd love to hear from you about all of it. So how do you get in touch with us to do that? Well, you can send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. If you're listening on Spotify, you can drop a comment right on this episode in Spotify. You can do the same thing if you are watching on YouTube. You can just drop a comment right on the episode in YouTube. Or as we mentioned, we are on social media. At Habs Connection is the handle on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. You can send us a reply or a DM on any of those platforms. However you choose to do it, just get your responses in. We will go through them. We'll pick out the best ones. We'll read them on next week's show. And as soon as we take our last break here on the Canadians Connection podcast, we're going to do exactly that and bring you some great replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So stick around. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, that text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to episode 408 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, tap subscribe if you haven't done so already and you are enjoying getting to listen to Montreal Canadiens talk and news all year long. Also, if you would be so kind, if you're enjoying today's episode or the content of our show in general, whatever platform you're on, however you can leave a review, whether that's a 5-star, whether it's a written review, whether it's hitting the like button,
any of those things, we would really appreciate it, as well as tapping the share button and just taking a second to share this episode with your social media followers on your favorite platforms. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Don't forget to get us your answer to this week's question of the week. What will make the biggest impact on the Canadiens' success next season? Will it be coaching changes or will it be roster upgrades? We want to hear from you on that. Now, last week we talked about the fact that it looked like Kent Hughes was kind of standing pat so far, no big moves being made, that type of thing. And we asked you if you could get on board with that kind of approach for this summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens, instead of, going for the big blockbuster trades, the big blockbuster offer sheets, the big blockbuster free agency signings. And we heard from some of you. We've got a couple of our replies that we liked very much. I'll let you start. These are both over on YouTube. I will let you start today.
So in answer to our Canadiens Connection question of the week from last week, can you get on board with a mostly stand-pat summer from Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens? We have a response from at Mervyn Varen, 3745. Mervyn says, I have all my trust in Kent Hughes to do the right thing when he sees fit. So he believes that Kent's going to do the right thing and he's going to do it in his own time. And that's fine. And that's wonderful. I'll just play a little bit of a devil's advocate. I'll also remind people that the hashtag going around Twitter, when it was Twitter, was in Bergevin we trust. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people that put their full trust in Marc Bergevin, and then they didn't, and wanted him out. So it's normal, and I'm, this is not, we're not getting into comparing those two, but Kent Hughes has been widely praised, although there's been a few little stumbles along the way as well.
Definitely. We also have a comment from at Dark Matter Eclipse who says, I'm fine with Hughes standing pat, and it looks like things are leaning towards him doing so. Options have been thinned out. Obviously, severe overpaying would have been required or he wouldn't have made a move. I doubt he offer sheeted like Philly. Eventually, something has to be done. As it stands, the end of next season presents a potential and eventual Zhirovsky, Hage, Demidov trio. Where's the grit? Put Slavkovsky on that left wing, then? They say, put Slavkovsky on that left wing, then? Where's the beef on Suzuki's line? That's assuming Hage fills that 2C position. No guarantees. Maybe not right away, either. Maybe Kapanen surprises and steps it up to legit 2C level this season, or at least enough until Hage is ready and gets sufficient NHL experience. They go on to say, eventually something has to be done with a defense mix. Teams are looking at Montreal's prospect pool and roster players. They will make them pay in a trade. Free agency is a bidding war. I think overpaying both in trade and salary is inevitable, and it's looking like it's next year. Or delay being a contender, roll the dice on Hage and Zhirovsky, hope Pugachev's ceiling is top six, realistically doubtful, but would love to be wrong, you never know until he arrives. Logan Sawyer looks pretty good for bottom six. That leaves the defense mix, primarily right-handed defensemen, that looks like it'll have to be a trade.
Very complete.
Very
comprehensive response, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah. And hey, when we ask you for your comments on things, you're also welcome to send in your replies to other listeners' comments that you hear us read. If you agree with something or you have something to add or want to make a polite argument against something, feel free to send that in as well. Don't forget, as Rick mentioned, if you ever have questions, particularly if it's a question that you'd like us to throw into a Rocket Sports mailbag edition, a Canadiens Connection mailbag episode, where we take your questions about the Canadiens and we answer them on the show, then be sure you get those in as well. We gave you all the ways that you can contact us. So any way that you want to get your answers in, your replies, your comments, your opinions, or your questions. This week, What could be coming? Well, probably more RFA contracts. Possibly a big slab of coaching announcements.
I think we're going to hear about Zach Bolduc probably as one of the next RFA contracts being announced. And yeah, clean up the coaching situation because there's more questions than answers at this point.
Definitely. Whatever happens this week, we know there will be news. There will be things for us to discuss, absolutely. And we will do that on our very next episode, which we can tell you is next Saturday, July 18th. We will be back with episode 409 of the Canadians Connection podcast. In the meantime, we hope you have a lovely week. We hope you enjoy mid-summer, mid-July. Have a great week. Don't worry. We will keep your thumb on the pulse of all things Canadians next week on the show on July 18th. We'll see you then. Thank you so much for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.